Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. This is The Takeaway, and we, of course, are on the precipice of Halloween. Ghosts, ghouls, creepy crawly things, things that go bump in the night. And no, we're not talking about partisan gridlock on Capitol Hill. We are going to the movies.
Have you heard about this videotape that kills you when you watch it?
Look behind you.
Red Rum! Red Rum!
Oh, just some scary movie.
Michael?
Why, she wouldn't even harm a fly.
They're here.
If you're like me, then you're feeling the shivers up and down your spine right about now. And other than trick-or-treating, nothing says Halloween quite like settling in for a scary movie. If you're a horror movie fan, you've probably already seen this year's biggest releases, like the latest entry in the Halloween movie franchise and the reboot of
Candyman.
Hey, I didn't say it. But if you're looking for some new frights, you've come to the right place. I have two guests with me now to make sure you're properly creeped out this Halloween. Kristen Meinzer is a culture critic and author of How to Be Fine, and Rafer Guzman is film critic for Newsday. Together, they co-host Movie Therapy Podcast. It is great to have you both here.
Thanks so much for having us back.
All right, so to both of you, what is it that you look for in a scary movie?
Me personally, I want to feel all sorts of feelings, the feelings of, shivers running up and down my spine. I want to be jumping out of my seat, but I also sometimes want a little bit of a surprise of other feelings too, whether that's laughter, whether it's feeling something deep in my heart that's touching. A horror movie that gives me additional feelings and gives me more to think about always makes me a little bit more impressed with the movie and makes me think about it afterward.
How about you, Rafer?
Well, I guess it kind of depends. I think there are kind of two types of horror movies. There are the really fun ones where you're kind of jumping out of your seat and things are going boo and it's, you know, ghosts. And there's always that scene where the camera sort of zooms in close on the hero and then suddenly someone appears next to them and, you know, they jump with fright and then you all jump with fright. So there are these kind of feel good horror movies, I think, that are a lot of fun. Then I think there are these kind of feel bad horror movies that are sort of not for a good time, that are really truly upsetting and traumatizing and ghastly. And I love those too. So I think it kind of depends on what I'm in the mood for.
All right. I really feel like we should talk about your interest in this kind of desire to feel bad. But Kristen, I just want to say, like, I have a big sister who, I mean, she's not going to get on a roller coaster and she is not going to any movie that she knows is a scary movie. What do you say to people like my big sister? Can I manage to drag her out to one this year?
Yes, you can. I mean, well, don't drag her out. Watch one at home, because I have a list of movies, and I would say 2 out of 3 of my movies you can watch if you don't fancy yourself a horror movie fan. There are some chills, but there's also a lot to think about, and you might feel other things, surprising feelings, feelings about how you process pain, or things about how, you know, America's consumerist machine works or whatnot. So
that is terrifying.
It is scary, yes. These are scary things, dealing with our own internal demons and dealing with the greater American, you know, machinations of consumerism and so on. But I do think that these kinds of movies, they can kind of please a lot of people. They can please the people who want a little bit of a scare, and they can please the people who don't want too much of a scare and want to think a little bit more.
Now, Rafer, I'm wondering, since you're down for the feel good bad, the feel good horror movies and the feel bad horror movies, are there bad horror movies there? Or are there some that are just too cliche for you?
Yeah, I mean, that would be most of them, I think. they really tend to kind of hit on the same old tropes, the same old formula. It's always the angry Native American spirit, or the spirit that belongs to some kind of tribe or society or ancient religious sect you've never heard of, and it wants a soul, and of course you have to give it something, and there's always the expert who that you have to go to, and he opens up the giant leather book and blows the dust off it and reads reads you the, you know, the instructions of how to do it. It all gets a little tiresome, I think. You know, I really do like it when a horror movie can find something new or do something new with the old formulas, which work. They work for a reason, but I think it's a horror movie's job to kind of freshen things up a little bit.
Hmm. Now, Kristen, we did ask both of you about your favorite underseen Halloween movies. And, well, I was listening to some of these this morning. So, Kristen, let's start with your first pick, Eyes Without a Face, the French film from 1959. Listen.
De son visage.
Edna, elle s'est échappée.
All right, given that it's in French, can you help us understand what's going on with this film, Kristen?
Yes. So this is, as you said, you know, a little bit of an older film. It's about 50 years old now. But even though it's a classic, I know very few people who have ever seen it, including my fellow film critics. So this is an underseen film, in my opinion. It centers on a renowned plastic surgeon in France, whose specialty is transferring living tissue from one living person to another. Now, after destroying his daughter's face in a reckless car accident, he is racked with guilt and begins kidnapping young women who resemble her with the hopes of transplanting their living faces onto hers. Of course, nothing ever goes quite as planned. And I just want to note here, it sounds like it's a really gory movie, but it's actually not. It's more than anything kind of a strange poetic meditation on what we all do with our own guilt and how we process other people's guilt. So I think it's a great Halloween movie for your sister, Melissa. It's a great Halloween movie for anybody who wants something a little bit more beautiful, a little bit more surprising. As Rafer was saying, you know, you watch this movie and it doesn't necessarily go the places you think it's going to go. And it's just pretty to look at, too.
So, Rafer, let's start with your first suggestion. It's a movie called Phantasm, which you recently watched with your 11-year-old son.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite movies. You know, it's from 1979. I always love this movie. It's a movie about a kid named Mike, and his parents have died recently. And now other people in his town seem to be dying mysteriously, too. And the kid thinks it has something to do with the Morningside Cemetery. And so he goes poking around the funeral home after dark, and he discovers all these weird things that you kind of wouldn't expect, even if you were to go poking around a haunted cemetery. First of all, the place turns out to be staffed by these dwarf zombies that seem to come from another planet. And the hallways are patrolled by this flying silver orb that, if it catches you, will stick razor blades into your skull and then drill your brains out and spill all your brains all over the floor. So, of course, little Mike has to figure out a way to get everyone else to believe that there's something weird going on Morningside Cemetery. And yes, I did show it to my 11-year-old, and he just loved it. He thought it was the funniest thing.
Apparently the apple tree not far. I got it. All right.
I agree.
So, Kristen, your next pick is a horror comedy from 1985. And it's just, okay, take in the weirdness with me for a moment.
When I was a little girl, I didn't think there was anything that I liked better than ice cream. Now I'm a big girl, and I've decided there's something I like better. Much better. It's called the stuff. And believe me, enough is never enough.
All right, can we talk about this? The Stuff, directed by Larry Cohen. And apparently you first watched it as a kid?
The Stuff, oh my gosh. I love this movie. I watched this as a little kid. I could handle this movie, even though I could not handle horror movies at that time. The Stuff begins when a gooey white substance resembling ice cream is discovered by railroad workers. They find it to be sweet and addictive, and before you know it, this alien substance is being marketed and distributed as a zero-calorie dessert to a diet and sweets-obsessed America. Not to be one-upped by this new product, the leaders of the suffering ice cream industry hire an undercover detective to find out what the stuff is actually made of, and they soon discover the stuff is actually a living, parasitic, and possibly sentient organism that gradually takes over the brain, eating people from the inside out. And I just gotta say, it is a hilarious clever movie that, you know, even though it's from 1985, it's still very smart, it's still very on point, and it still says a lot about America's obsession with consumerism and weight loss. So I just think it's worth seeing. And the commercial spots, they have all these commercials that run through the movie for the stuff, which will just make you laugh and think, oh, that actually looks like a real TV commercial.
Okay, I so appreciate that. I am certainly old enough to remember 1985 very well, and particularly like the aerobics craze madness that was going on at the time. And that, okay, I appreciate that whole sort of idea of what's happening there. Rafer, I want to keep embracing the weirdness and get into the rock opera horror movie, Phantom of the Paradise.
Dream each other's smile.
Filters.
Like a child who was always poor, reaching out for more, I can feel the hunger growing.
All right, so that sounds pretty different than your typical horror movie.
Yeah, well, see, Melissa, I tried to pick some feel-good horror movies for this. This is like a kind of a horror musical glam rock comedy, which I know sounds like Rocky Horror, but this actually came out the year before. And it's basically like a version of, like a glam rock version of Faust. You've got this singer-songwriter named Winslow Leach who wants to break into the music industry. And of course, he winds up selling his soul to the devil. And there's a little bit of Phantom of the Opera mixed in there. Couple of great things about this movie. It's directed by Brian De Palma, who I love. You've got all these great, weird 70s musical numbers that are clearly drawing from bands that were popular at the time, like Kiss and Meatloaf and Sha Na Na, but they're all sort of parodied and weirded up for the movie. And then Paul Williams, you know, the great singer-songwriter who wrote all the music for the film, he plays Satan, which I just think if you can picture Paul Williams for a minute, it's a hilarious image of Paul Williams playing Satan. And it's an early role for Jessica Harper, too. She plays the dream girl of the songwriter. But it's one of my favorite movies. It looks great. It's just really inventive and funny and creepy. And the music's great. And I've always loved this movie.
I can actually visualize that, and it is funny and also kind of horrifying. All right, Kristen, we're going to go into the kind of 21st century here a little bit with these final picks. Let's take a listen to the sound design on this really creepy one.
Just confess. Repent your sins. God's waiting.
All right, that's The Lodge from 2019. Why should we be watching that one?
Well, I was so surprised this movie was not a bigger hit. It only grossed about $2 million worldwide, which, you know, in regular human terms is a lot of money, but in the movie industry, $2 million is next to nothing. It's pennies. So the chances are you haven't seen it, but you absolutely should. It begins when a writer named Richard informs his wife, Laura, that he's leaving her for a much, much, much younger woman named Grace. He met Grace while researching a book about an extremist cult, and Grace was actually raised in the cult, and she's the sole survivor of a mass suicide in the cult led by her late father. Now, in order for Richard's children to bond with Grace, he decides to take them all to a secluded lodge, and then he abandons all three of them at the lodge to get to know each other. And that's when things get really creepy. I thought I knew where this movie was going, but it had me jumping out of my seat, questioning my instincts. It was tense. It was claustrophobic. It will leave you guessing. It is such a scary, scary movie. So this is not for you and your sister, Melissa.
So it's funny you say that as we kind of close up here. But, you know, I couldn't watch horror movies last Halloween. I just couldn't do it. I felt like the pandemic felt too real to make anything like a horror movie feel even slightly good to me at the time. And, you know, obviously the podcast you co-host is called Movie Therapy. I'm feeling ready for the horror movies this year. Are horror movies a kind of therapy?
I mean, I think they are. I think they're very cathartic. I think they're a great way to put maybe a real fear at a bit of a distance, you know, disguise it as a demon or a spirit or a possessed child or something else. You know, you can kind of metaphorize these fears and then maybe deal with them a little better. I think they're great for it. I mean, listen, you got to have a stomach for it. Not everybody likes them, but I think they're a lot of fun. And when they're done well, they're great.
Rafer Guzman is a film critic for Newsday, and Kristen Meinzer is a culture critic and author of How to Be Fine. The two of them co-host Movie Therapy, the podcast. Kristen, Rafer, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us. This was so fun.